I'm the first to the party, please do not get the boy started. Step back and drop 50 like Harden. Insisting I need no assistance, I make my own shot. You can't stop me, there's no way to guard him. Except that you won't catch me flopping. You bring up a topic, I'm catching the ball, never dropping. We covering every option, don't matter if we talking basketball, football, or boxing. We gon' acknowledge it, skip all the politics. Honest opinions on top of that polished with. No need to push an agenda, unlike the pretenders who forcing your face who they riding with. We gon' talk real facts, ayy. Know you can kill that. We the ones bringing the skill back. Know you can feel that. Know you've been waiting on someone to bring you the real back. Party time, excellent. Turn it up, we turn to ups. Never late, don't mistake us for no other bushy shows, cause we the one. Party time, excellent. Turn it up, we turn to ups. Never late, don't mistake us for these other bushy shows, cause we the one. Oh, yeah.
Yo, Pistons fans, what up, though? This your boy Lex, man, first of the party. I know it's been a while, man. I'm coming to y'all with some Piston draft content. It's that time of the year again. We just had the NBA draft lottery happen last week. Actually, this week, a lot of rumors going on. I'm going to come to y'all and tell y'all where we should go, how we should go, and what the roster looking like, man. There's a lot of news going on right here. First, I'm going to start with some of the news earlier with Shaedon Sharpe. Shaedon Sharpe, look like dog got a promise. Somebody is going to draft him in the top four. He declined to speak to the Pistons. I guess he had a promise inside the top four. If you look at these teams that's in the top four, it kind of worry or wonder what team, you know, so he could fall to. You see the Orlando Magic at number one, and that's the first team that catches my eye. That's the team that make me think that they could go there, you know what I'm saying? If you look at the makeup of their roster, they got a lot of bigs. They got Jonathan Isaac returning. They just drafted Jalen Suggs last year. Cole Anthony, Markelle Fultz is coming back from injury. So their backcourt is kind of loaded. And then they drafted Franz Wagner, who's kind of a tweener. Played a three and a four. A lot of possibilities there. A lot of people saying they can go Jabari Smith. A lot of people saying they can go Chet Holmgren. But Jabari Smith, man, he kind of fits pretty good there. He's a shooter. Mo Bamba probably won't – looks like he won't be back there. Mo Bamba is an unrestricted free agent. He'll be gone. I could see Jabari going there, but I could also see Shaedon Sharpe going there as well. He's a wild card. We haven't seen him play. I could see Orlando taking a swing and going after a superstar. That's why the Pistons falling to five is not that bad, because out of all these teams in the top three, Houston, Oklahoma City, and Orlando, the Pistons have a solid superstar. You know, Cade Cunningham is probably head and shoulders above everybody on these two rosters. Only person that probably come close is probably SGA and OKC, but with Cade's youth and potential and size, I'll probably get a nod to Cade. Houston got Jalen Green last year, but as we've seen, Kay had a much more effective and more impressive season, a better leader, and a better all-around player in my eyes. So when you look at the top three, you know, saying the Pistons fall in the five, they're in a good spot. They don't need a franchise player. They don't need that franchise-altering player. And I think Orlando could take a swing for the fences and go after a Shaedon Sharpe. So by him saying that, by him declining to meet with the Pistons, you know what I'm saying, it wouldn't surprise me that Orlando will go ahead and take a shot at him. Another team to watch out for in the top is Houston. A lot of people is pegging one of the big three to go there, but I could see them passing on some of the big three as well. When I say the big three, I'm saying Chet Holmgren, Paolo, and Jabari Smith. Real reason why I think Houston could pass is because they don't have a point guard. They got a shooting guard in Jalen Green who's electric, and he's going to be good. He started heating up at the end of the season. But I don't think they can trust Kevin Porter Jr. I don't think they could, running the offense, running the show. You know what I'm saying? I think that Jaden Ivey is a real possibility there in Houston. And quite honestly, that could shake up the draft. You know what I'm saying? It could really shake the draft up to its core. Say, for instance, if a Sharp and if a Sharp and Ivy go in the top three, you know what I'm saying? That's going to leave, a Chet Holmgren or a Jabari Smith or even Paolo Banchero to fall to the Pistons. OKC, I can't see Chet Holmgren falling past them. I think, his ceiling, his all-around play, his defense, and with Josh Giddey over there in SGA, I think those guys could really that can mesh. That can be that other piece that they can use, and they can start taking those draft picks and start really putting a real team together. You know what I'm saying? So OKC and Chet Holmgren seems like a good fit. And then we get to Sacramento. You know what I'm saying? And Sacramento, they're X factor team. They kind of got some bad blood with Troy Weaver. Troy Weaver play they ass this offseason, tore they ass up. I mean, this regular season. Troy Weaver called him earlier in the season, tried to get Marvin Bagley, and they wanted Sadiq Bey at first. He turned it down, he hung up on him. He got him for a bag of chips later in the season. Josh Jackson and Trey Lyles. Marvin Bagley's look like he's been turning up since he's been a Piston. Marvin Bagley's been doing his thing since he's been a, you know what I'm saying? He fits perfect. A lob threat, a low post threat. And to be honest, he was over there in Sacramento, and Sacramento was just horrible, man. Just horrible. Sacramento was coached by Luke Walton, and we all know how Luke Walton is cut. Luke Walton was the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, and a lot of those young players were struggling mightily, struggling bad, from Ball to Kuzma to Ingram, Josh Hart. And then when all of those players leave up under the Lakers or and Luke Walton, they all have found success. So and even when you look at Marvin Bagley and what you brought when you brought him here, he played in limited minutes. I think he averaged about 27 minutes. So out of the 18 games he played, he started eight. And in Detroit last year, he averaged 14.6 points and 6.8 rebounds. So 14 and 7, you know what I'm saying? Off the bench. That's showing some promise. That's showing that he has that number two overall potential. You gotta remember that guy, this guy was drafted number two overall, just in Sacramento. He's supposed to have superstar potential. You know what I'm saying? And I think he can get that here in Detroit. His skill set fits with Cade. He's shown range to, just to spread the floor. And like I said, you can dump it down there to him. He can go get his own basket. He's gonna open the, he's a lob threat for Cade and Killian too. I know a lot of people ain't Killian Hayes fans, but I still fuck with the boy. So you get back to Detroit here, to the Kings, and a player that's been rumored to the Pistons. The Pistons are infatuated with is Keegan Murray, and Keegan Murray out of Iowa, dog has been a beast. Keegan Murray, he's an older player. He'll be 22, I think, by the season start. I'm not age shaming. I'm not gonna go with the age shaming because these older players has been the best players in this draft, a lot, and a lot of these drafts. These players with 1 or 2 years, they know how to play the game, especially the 3 or 4 year players. They know how to set screens. They know how to play basketball. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these younger players just know how to hoop. These older players know how to set screens. They know how to come off screens, box out. Certainly, the fundamentals, they have it down pat. And then they add their talent to that and their problem. But Keegan Murray, man, he has off-ball skills. He fits with the Pistons, you know what I'm saying? As far as talent-wise and what he can do, But when I look at this roster and the makeup, we already have Beef Stew, we got Bagley, and we're rumored to go after DeAndre Ayton. And that's the guy that I really think that we should go after in the offseason. I'm going to talk to you guys about that a little later. So I think Indiana can go here. I mean, the Kings are probably going to come here and try to snatch Keegan Murray away from the Pistons. And it's a good fit for them as well. They drafted Davion Mitchell last year, De'Aaron Fox at the guard. They just went out there and got Sabonis. So they can use somebody that can go out there and fill the, fill up the stat sheet and play off ball, can get some points, without the ball in his hands and being ball dominant. So I think Keegan Murray is a good pick there. If Shaedon Sharpe isn't going to Orlando, he did meet with the Kings. You know what I'm saying? He did meet with the Pistons. So I can see Keegan Murray being the pick there. If he don't go number one, then maybe Jabari go number two or whatever. But to the Pistons. And I've been looking at, first of all, let's look at the makeup of our roster, what we have here, the situations that we have here. First and foremost, Cade Cunningham is going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to run an offense. He's going to be the point guard, basically. The goal is probably to replace Corey Joseph in the first in the first unit in the starting lineup. And so, in order to do that, a lot of people think you need a point guard, maybe start Killian or draft the two. With Killian, I think I was still, he's still being Americanized. He's still getting aggressive. We've seen at the end of the year last year, he came on strong off the bench. You know, since starting to be more aggressive. Finishing at the basket, shooting the 3-point ball. I remember he started the season off as the best 3-point shooter on the squad. So I haven't given up on Killian. He finally played a full season last year, 82 games. He has the profile and size. He's got a great playmaking ability. Lefty, 6'5". He can defend. So I love Killian Hayes, the babyface assassin. I think he will be good for the Pistons. And the pick. The guy I'm leaning to today, as I'm talking to you guys, is Benedict Mathurin from Arizona. 6'6", 215, athletic score. Athletic, can play above the rim. But the biggest thing about it is he play off ball. He comes off screens. He plays defense. Plays above the rim. His and his off the dribble game is still is developing really good, but he's good enough. And it fits Kay Cunningham to a T because that's another scorer and he's an elite 3-point shooter. And when you pair that 3-point shooting with Sadiq Bey sniping, we've seen what he did with that 50-pointer and his 3-point shooting. Sadiq Bey in the first two seasons in the NBA, I think he just broke the single season 3-point record that was held by Allen Houston. You can use that sniper. You can use that firepower as you're watching in the playoffs right now. You see what Boston doing with Brown and Tatum. You see what Klay and Steph has been able to do for the last what going on decade. You're going to need elite 3-point shooting, and we think K's 3-point ball is going to come back and come around more. So when you get that 3-point shooting, that's going to open the paint for K to to get in the paint, and then if he gets in the paint, that means he can create for Beef and Bagley down Stu. I mean, down low. So I love Benedict Mathurin for the Pistons at five. And again, for people to be upset saying that they want one of the top dogs in this draft because you did such a great job last year with the home run with Cade Cunningham. And then the year before, you did a home run when you got Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, and both of those guys were all rookie. One was first team NBA rookie team, and the other was second team NBA rookie team, and Isaiah Stewart. So you hit big with those guys, and then you got Killian Hayes, who was the seventh pick of the draft. You got to look at your roster, and as of right now, Jeremy Grant is still on the team. And with Jeremy Grant still on the squad, man, it could be a plus or a negative. I know a lot of people say they want to trade Jeremy, but at the end of the season, Jeremy Grant came along, man. Jeremy Grant started playing better basketball. He started playing basketball with, he started being able to play alongside Cade and Sadiq. Last year started off really rough, man. We got to remember that Cade was on the Cade was He started the season injured in training camp with an ankle. So the chemistry and starting off the season was pretty bad with Killian, Kay, Sadiq, and Jeremy. You've seen Sadiq and Kay get it together, and they start learning how to play together. And then, like I said, at the end of the season, you've seen Sadiq Bey and Jeremy Grant get it with Kay Cunningham. So, like I said, you'll need that firepower. And then on defense, all three of those guys can switch off and play defense together. So, as of right now, you got a log jam. You know what I'm saying? And you got some capable defenders and scorers over there, too. So, with Jeremy, a lot of people are thinking about trading Jeremy. Maybe the seventh pick. You trade Jeremy to Portland, who's in the win now mode. And Jeremy, one of the things that appealed to the Pistons was he wanted to play for a black GM and a black head coach. And I think that's there in Portland with Chauncey. And he's from Portland. Portland is in win now mode. Dame Lillard is not looking for no rookie to carry him. He can't wait on the rookie to develop. He's ready to win now. They got money, cap space, and he played with Jeremy Grant in the Olympics, and he's pretty fond of Jeremy. He loves Jeremy. So this is it could be an opportunity for the Pistons to do Jeremy right, do right by Jeremy, and send him somewhere that he wants to go. And if you come around and get the seventh pick again, you know, so now you're adding another young player. We got guys like Jalen Duren from Memphis, who's there as a big guy that can come off that bench. I don't want to go that route because I want the Pistons to go all in on DeAndre Ayton. I think DeAndre Ayton is a real good possibility to come here. DeAndre Ayton was in a situation in Phoenix to where his first 2 years, DeAndre Ayton was a stud. The offense, he was more involved in the offense. He was the second option behind Booker. We've seen them in a bubble. They did damage. Chris Paul goes over there in the last 2 years. He's kind of regressed. He's been limited to just a pick and roll player, a role man, and the lob threat. I think he can be so much more. DeAndre Ayton shot 36% from three this year. I think there's more in that. If you looked at his game at Arizona coming out of college, there was a reason why he went number one overall. You know what I'm saying? He can defend. You got to remember what he did to Joker in the playoffs, how he defended Joker, not this year, but last year. You know what I'm saying? I can see a 20 and 12 type of player. I think that's the guy that can be the running mate to Cade and Sadiq. That's the guy that can get us over the hump. Another thing is this. I'm fond on keeping the units together. If we look at the past, teams like Oklahoma City, they would have never – they got to the finals with James Harden coming off the bench. They were very, 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 very dangerous. And they were happy Harden was like, I'll come off the bench forever. But the Thunder started chasing. They started chasing and following the Lakers. And they wanted to match up with the Lakers. And they traded for Kendrick Perkins. And they paid him instead of Harden. And they had to send Harden to Houston. That was the beginning of the end of Oklahoma City. They never made it back to the finals. And I think that when you have these superstar players and they come into your building, they get familiar with the players that they're drafted with. That's why the timeline matters so much. These guys are so relatable. LeBron leaves Cleveland for Miami because he had nobody there that he came up with. He's got a whole bunch of old heads around him. Ben Wallace's, this is Jonas Ilgauskas. You got to remember when he came in, it was him, Ricky Davis, Darius Miles, Carlos Boozer. They were younger, they're more relatable. You know what I'm saying? We're in the age of social media and these guys playing the video games and things of that nature. But if you got older guys that's into different things, family men and that nature, these guys ain't growing together. Like we see right now with the Pistons. We see Bagley, Beef, and Cade and these guys out at games and hanging out, playing Call of Duty online and things and shit like that on IG Live. We see that type of shit all the time. If you trade these guys away or whatever, when it's time for these guys to become free agents and they look around them and the surroundings is not so familiar, that makes it easy for them to go play with their friends in the league, to go back home to where it's more familiar. You know what I'm saying? So if the Pistons right now are in a situation where they drafted well the last 2 years, they got four guys, maybe five if you count Saving Lee, maybe even more if you're counting Isaiah Livers from last year, or if you have belief in a Luka Garza. These guys, they're close. They know each other. The cap, they're on rookie deals. Trading Jeremy Grant and getting another young piece would be huge for them guys. But if you look at DeAndre Ayton and what you add with him, it doesn't mean that you're going to get rid of beef. When I was just saying about trading Jeremy Grant for number seven and adding another player, a better deal would be if you trade Jeremy Grant to Phoenix and assign and trade for DeAndre Ayton. We see DeAndre Ayton play 17 minutes in game seven in the last game against Dallas. Him and Monty Williams got into it. They said it was internal. They're not bringing him back. They don't want to max him out. Pistons, bring him in, max him out. Not just for and you got to think about it. You got to play Joel Embiid in the playoffs. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo in your division. You're going to need some size to defend the guys with size. So I bring in Ayton. Like I said, if you need to throw in a Hami, Hamadou Diallo, or whatever, I would like to keep Hami. If they're going to take Jeremy Grant straight up for DeAndre Ayton, do it. So be it. Do it. You know what I'm saying? At least by Jeremy, you'll be doing them some justice by sending them to a winner, a championship contending team. We'll be playing with Booker, Chris Paul, black head coach, black general manager, James Jones over there in Phoenix, Monty Williams. So you'll be doing them. You'll be doing them right. You're not going to send them to a shithole. And you'll get your big. Isaiah Stewart, undersized big. He can come off the bench and play with that aggression. You don't have to worry about foul trouble. And I think with Bagley and Ayton, look at what you've added. You've added the number one overall pick and a number two overall pick in that draft. And those guys still have potential, and those guys still can reach that. I still believe that Bagley can reach that potential. And I think you got a formidable duo in your front court. You'll have two number one overall selections. Everybody wanted the number one pick this year or whatever. Now you'll have that with Cade and DeAndre Ayton. Those are two number one overall selections that you'll be having on your roster with the number two overall selection in Marvin Bagley. So Pistons fans, man, don't be upset about this fifth overall selection. I think this is an opportunity for you to get a player that fits your team the best, that'll open up Sadiq Bey, Kay Cunningham, and Marvin Bagley, and the players you have here the best. This is a huge offseason. I think the best thing that for you to do is to attack Ayton before he even gets to free agency, before he even has the opportunity to sit down in front of other teams. I think you do the sign and trade with him, you max him out. And when you max him out with the sign and trade, you know what I'm saying? You look, you know, you have him, you give him the opportunity to look at what you have here and what you're building. We're in a renaissance here in Detroit, man. We're in a real big renaissance. And right now, my vision right now, what I'm seeing is the Lions hosting the draft in 2024. And I'm hoping on that weekend of April, late April, around my birthday, April 27th, that the Pistons and the Lions, the Pistons will be hosting a playoff game in the same weekend that the Lions is hosting the draft. That would be amazing for us downtown. It'll be a crazy scene. And I think our city is ready to show up and show out. The Red Wings are doing their thing with their youth movement. Tigers starting off a little slow this year, but I think the youth movement will be good. Wait till Riley Green comes back and he starts playing. He get out there with Torque. They send Akil Badu down, down to the minors to get his swing back. He'll be back up soon. You got the young pitchers doing their thing with Casey Mize and them boys. Pistons is on their way. We got an A. Kay Cunningham will be going into next season with a chip on his shoulder. He didn't get the rookie of the year, and I think he deserved it. So it's we good in Detroit, man. It's a good time to be excited. If you guys got any questions or, you know, topics, things you want me to tackle, let me know. Let me know what y'all got. You know, let me know what y'all want to hear. You know what I'm saying? Any draft guys you want me to touch on, draft picks that you guys are interested in. I know it's a lot of other guys out there. I know I like Benedict Mathurin. I also like AJ Griffin out of Duke. He'll be he won't even turn 19 until August. Hell of a shooter. If you look at his percentages, dog is like 46% from three. I think on the move, off the ball, on the move, he was like almost 48% from three. So that's another two guard that you can put in the starting lineup to take to move dog up out of there. When I say dog, I mean Corey Joseph. Get his ass, you know what I'm saying, out there starting lineup. There's Johnny Davis. That's a guy that sophomore. I gotta look some more into him. He's a, like he has a little bit of Devin Booker in him. I like him. He got a he's still developing that three ball, but I think he can get it. Outside of those guys, those are the guards I'm looking at. We got a the cat from Kansas or Agbaji, athletic 3-and-D type guy. I can see him getting drafted and people being like, oh my God, they reach for him. And then he turns out to be a stud. Like I said, he doesn't need the ball. He plays defense. He has a hell of a profile and he's athletic, plays above the rim and just defense, defense, defense. You got to remember who you have here as a head coach. Dwayne Casey's defense first. He is defense first. So Dwayne Casey's, these young guys are playing defense. A lot of these young teams don't play defense first. You know what I'm saying? They get out there to play the offense, and that the defense is something you have to develop with them. But Dwayne Casey being a defensive-minded coach first, key, huge. You know what I'm saying? He's our head coach, and we're going defense first. So, like I said, I'm excited, man. Let me know what y'all want to hear. Like, don't forget to like and subscribe. And also, man, let me talk to y'all about these playoffs. A lot of these guys is being exposed, man. A lot of these guys being exposed. From the Bam Adebayo in this Boston series, even in that Philly series, man. These guys are not that good, man. Bam is, you know, we giving these guys superstar and star labels. You got to, Jimmy out there by himself, man. Like he.